It started this message out to be part of a teaching in Ephesians. The Lord saw it another way, and we ran out of tape right where the Lord wanted us to stop. So I praise the Lord for it. We hope that this message would be a blessing to you, that you would pray about the message before you listen to it. Ask the Holy Spirit to open your heart, your ears, and your understanding, that it may, in fact, and truly be a blessing to you. My sincere wish is to give Jesus Christ all glory, honor, and praise, that He be magnified, and that none of us be magnified.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a cheer. Say, Lord, we appreciate you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, children. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I just thank God. Don't know what else to say. Don't know what else to say. Thank Him in the morning. Thank Him in the evening. Thank Him in the noontime. Praise Him in the morning.
Amen.
I praise Him in the evening.
Amen.
I praise Him in the noontime.
Amen.
I glorify Him in the morning. Glorify Him in the evening. Glorify Him in the noontime. I mean, I tell you, I just don't know how to glorify Him enough. I don't know how to praise Him enough. Some people have told me they did, but I just can't see how you can praise Jesus enough. Can't see it. You know, I've had some people say that, and I've had a number of people come to my services and tell me that we praise the Lord too much. That we get too excited. That we say amen too much. That we say glory, hallelujah too much. Well, you know, if you go to a lot of these churches out here, you can understand where they're coming from. First of all, the preacher doesn't have anything to say that anyone would say amen to. Secondly, they don't have a reason to say amen or praise the Lord because there's nothing there. But I tell you this, they better learn how to do it. Because I read in my Bible. I look in Revelations. And I see what's going to happen in heaven. I see what kind of church they're going to have in heaven. Where John the Revelator writes, "And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald." I like that. And round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. These heavenly beasts would sit in heaven, standing around the throne of God, and 24 hours a day they would not cease to say, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Hallelujah. That's what church is going to be like in heaven. Man, we haven't even begun to learn how to have church. Haven't even learned. I don't think we say praise the Lord enough. I don't think we say hallelujah enough. I don't think we say glory to God enough. I don't think we praise Him enough. I don't think we pray enough. I don't think we cheer enough. I don't think we give Him a hand enough. I don't think we give enough wave offerings. I don't think we kneel enough. I don't think we shout enough.
Amen.
We just don't do enough of it. Do you know why? I want to tell you something. Now, we are going to do Ephesians tonight, I think. I want to tell you why people don't like shouting. I want to tell you why people don't like praising and glorifying God. I want to tell you why people don't like to say glory, glory, and praise the Lord, and why they don't like to hear it. I'm going to tell you why. Satan knows it's coming. Satan can hear them praise God in heaven. And when you get together as a body of God's church, the body of Jesus, and you start praising the Lord and you start worshiping Him and the Holy Spirit's presence is there, demons tremble. The Bible says that demons tremble. And when those demons start trembling, people, they don't want to stick around. And unfortunately, the people they're in want to leave too. If they just knew that all they had to do is stay still long enough and praise God with us, then the demons would leave and they could stay and feel the power of God.
Amen.
Honey, if you don't like Jesus' name, if you don't like being around people that love the Lord Jesus, if you don't like being around the anointing of God, if it doesn't feel good to you, then tell that thing in you to get lost. That thing in you is going to hell. And if you don't fall out of agreement with it, you will go to hell with it. Amen, amen, amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. A lot of people won't believe that now. They will believe it later. They will believe it later. Hallelujah. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. I want to do this one again. We'll go through it quickly.
The 2 hour quickly or the hour and a half quickly?
I don't know. Praise God. We'll go through and see what the Lord shows us this time. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you, Lord, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Wish I had that letter. Wish I had that letter that he wrote to them afore. Wish I had it. But you know what? I've got something just as good. I got something just as good as the letter that he wrote afore. I got the one who told him what to write. I got the same Jesus that told Paul what to write. I have the same Holy Spirit that told Paul what to write. And I can go in my closet and get in prayer and get down with on my knees. And I can pray in the Spirit. And I can hear and receive the same thing that Paul received. Do you hear me? Do you hear me? We are coming, as we preached the other night, as God started revealing to the church the other night, we are coming to a new age of the ministry. Many, 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 many people will not agree with this. Many people will not understand it. But we are coming to a new age of the ministry. We are coming to a ministry that God has shown to me to call the Joshua ministry. The Joshua ministry is going to come in very quickly, very shortly. We're at the riverbank waiting to go across. We are coming into the Joshua ministry. The Mosesekiel ministry is on its way out. The William Brannans are no more. The A.A. Allens are no more. Oral Roberts is leaving. He's going out. Doesn't know it, but he is. Jimmy Swaggart is at his peak in the things that God's having him to do. But it won't be long before he starts out. Not because he is not God's man. Not at all. But because his ministry is coming to a close. Look at what he's doing around the world. Look at the people in South America and Africa and all around the world that are coming to Jesus Christ by the thousands. By the thousands. These people that are coming to the Lord by the thousands are going to be the Joshuas in those nations. They're going to be the Joshuas in those nations. They are going to receive direct revelation from God. Direct revelation of His Word from Jesus Christ. They're going to receive it. Just as Paul received direct revelation. I was talking to Sister Joanna the other day, and we were discussing some of the old doctrines taught us in the Pentecostal church. Some of the old beliefs and some of the old teachings. They taught us that Paul, when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and then he went into Damascus to the street called Straight, and there he stayed in a man's house. And Ananias came over and laid hands on him that he would receive the Holy Ghost. And they taught us in those churches and in the seminary how Paul went to Arabia and in the desert there all by himself for 3 years and didn't talk to anybody, didn't say anything to anybody, and he learned from the Lord for 3 years. And then he came out, went over to Jerusalem, got taught of Peter and James and John for a while. Then after he had their approval, went back out for 14 more years. Boy, that was hogwash. Went through and we looked through the book of Acts and looked at exactly what happened. And I'm going to tell you what happened. Paul went in, was going to Damascus, and he was hit by a bolt of light. And the center of that light was Jesus. The center of that light was Jesus. I got news for some of you people. I got to back up, and I hope I get back to this point. But I want to tell you something. I wasn't going to say this, but I was reading in Jimmy Swagger's magazine last night. Something you'll always notice about the Mosaical Age ministers. You'll always notice it. You'll always notice it. You'll always spot them. They're men of God, and I love them. They carried an anointing, and I wouldn't touch it for anything. Not for anything. You couldn't pay me to touch it. But you can always tell on a Mosaical minister, because sooner or later in their ministry, they will always strike the rock in their own name. In their own name. Sooner or later, somewhere in their ministry, they will strike it in their own name. My father in the Lord, H. Richard Hall, used to be one of the most powerful ministers I ever saw in my life. One of the most powerful I ever saw in my life. I mean, you could walk within 20 feet, 30 feet of him and your hair would start tingling. In 1977, he struck the rock in his own name. And from that point on, his ministry started going down. Still hanging on to it. They always do. To the last minute. He's still winning souls. Praise God. Still has an anointing. Praise God. But his ministry will come to an end. I was reading in Jimmy Swagger's magazine the other day, or last night. This was after Wednesday night service when God had me share with you what he was doing with the Joshua ministry. Hadn't seen it before this, and I told you then on Wednesday that God had showed me that Jimmy would strike the rock in his own name, didn't I? Got it on the tape. And I did not even reading it. I looked in the magazine. Sister of ours showed it to me. Asked me what I thought about something there. And I saw it. And the minute I saw this thing, I heard a hammer fall on a rock. I heard like a hammer falling. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, "There it is." He struck the rock in his own name. In one of his requests, please, what have you for money? He made the statement, "Jimmy Swaggard saves souls." Listen to that. Jimmy Swaggard saves souls. Jimmy Swaggard, I love you and I'll support your ministry to the day you die. But honey, you don't save souls. Jesus Christ saves souls. Amen. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Amen. Not Jimmy Swagger. Amen. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Not Richard Utzler. Amen. Jesus Christ died on the cross. Not H. Richard Hall. Amen. Only Jesus Christ can save souls. Amen. All we can do is preach to them. We can't even make them believe it. you young ministers coming up in the Lord, you that just were licensed today. The rest of you have been licensed for a while, and the rest of you that will be. You remember one thing. If you don't ever remember anything, you remember one thing. All you can do is say Jesus is Lord, but you can't make them believe it. It's the Holy Spirit that makes them believe it, and it's Jesus that saves them. That's it. That's it. We can't make them believe it, and we can't save them. Only Jesus can. And that's one of the differences you're going to see in the Joshua ministry. You're going to see it. Because the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and the teachers and the apostles that God's raising up in this Joshua ministry will never, ever strike the rock in their own name. They're going to be a breed apart from all ministers that ever have been. They're going to walk in the power and glory of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is going to do it all. He's going to do it all. Jesus is going to do it all. Paul left where Jesus got to him. And you know, this just backs up what I just said. Paul heard all the preaching in the world from these Christians. I know he had to, as he carried them off to the lion's den and the bears and to be stoned and dried and put in prison and all. But God had a plan for Paul. He had a plan for him. He said, Paul, you're going to be an apostle. I'm going to give you some rope. And when you got just enough to hang yourself, I'm going to jerk it. He got to the end of his rope on the road to Damascus. And God pulled his string. Jesus Christ himself preached to Paul.
Amen.
Honey, you can be on a desert island on the other side of the world, and you can be the only human being on that island. And if you're the elect seed of God, if God himself has to come down and preach his own gospel to you, you will hear the gospel.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And you will believe. And you will get saved. And you will know him. Ananias came and laid his hands on Paul to receive the Holy Ghost. And my Bible says that Paul got up preaching.
Amen.
He didn't go off and learn for 3 years. He didn't go to a seminary. He didn't go to a college. He didn't go to a university. He got Jesus.
Amen.
He got the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And he came out of that house and began to preaching and made those Jews so mad they wanted to kill him. Made them so mad they wanted to kill him. So what he did is he went out into Arabia, which was the region round about. It was like going out into the suburbs. See, you got Berry City. You got Berry City over here. And all around Berry City, you got Berry Town. Do you hear me? He went out of the city Damascus and went into the country roundabout called Arabia, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as he was preaching the gospel for 3 years there, the Lord Jesus, through the Spirit of God, revealed by revelation his plan.
Amen.
He went back into Damascus and preached again. That's like if I leave here today and go to Florida and come back in 3 years, you're going to tell me that I didn't preach for 3 years? No. Florida may seem like a desert place to you, but there are people living there. They need the gospel too. Paul came back into Damascus. He preached the gospel. Then he went to Jerusalem. And he didn't go get their approval. He went and told them what Jesus showed them. Now, he said, look, I was called of God to be an apostle. I've been preaching this gospel that Jesus has given me for 3 years. I've come here to tell you what God told me. What do you think about it? You like it? You do? Praise God. I'm glad you do. If you didn't, tough. If you didn't like it, tough. Paul would have preached it anyway. He didn't tell anybody else except Peter, James, and John. That's all he told. Because he knew the others wouldn't accept what God gave him. He knew the others would not accept what God gave him. And he went off and preached the gospel Jesus Christ gave him. He was a prisoner to the Lord. When he wrote this, he was a prisoner. He was literally in jail. Chained between two soldiers. Had a soldier on the left and a soldier on the right. And he was chained to him. He says here, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." You ministers, you are prisoners of Jesus Christ for the unbelievers.
Amen.
And for the believers.
Amen.
Paul was writing here to believers. Am I right? He was writing to believers, and he said he was a prisoner for them. That means they come before you. That means what they need comes before what you feel.
Amen.
Do you hear me?
Amen.
What they need comes before what you feel.
Amen.
If you don't feel good, and they need you, that comes first. If you don't feel like going to church and having service, you go anyway.